So there's many places we could go this morning with these verses. And so I have a script prepared, but we have some other stuff I want to talk about. So why does the church exist? Who knows? To worship God. Okay, what else? Spread the gospel. Place to gather. I'm really surveying you guys, just so you know. What else? All right, so we got gathering, we got spreading the gospel, and I hinted on it during the offering prayer. Anybody get that? To be the hands and feet of Jesus, right? So in our community. So I got to meet with Pastor Craig this past week and Pastor Ray, and we're talking about ministry philosophy, right? Like what am I called to do? What empowers me and gets me excited, right? And I was talking to Jane about it this morning. Like, I love being with the people. Like, the stinky, lost people, right? Like, in the gutters. Like, in the city, right? In the bar rooms. In the, wherever they're at. The farmers in the field. If anybody has, you know, you have a horse, maybe I'll go out and pick up horse poop or something one day. You know? Like, I love that type of ministry, like your hands-on type. Like, I am not a good pastor in the sense of I don't like just sitting still and sitting in an office, you know, every day and just kind of doing paperwork. Like, that is the most boring. That is not what Jesus calls us to do. I like being the hands-on pastor. Like, that's what I love. That's what excites me. And so this morning, I am trying to get that sense from the church of what are those hands-on ministries that you guys want to lead? Because, like, if it's all on the pastor or the staff or your council, I don't know if we're going to go anywhere. But if we can get the people to say, you know, God's called me to make an impact in the life of faith for Dundalk, in this area. So obviously we have the pillowcase ministry, and I don't know what else they make, but all the sewing, right? Like, that's hands-on, like they're doing something to make a difference. So I'm big on the Lord's Prayer, where we say, on earth as it is in heaven. So we are trying our best to bring God's earth to heaven. So in Lutheranism, right, this is where theology matters. Theology does impact the way we live church. There's always been this debate, the two kingdoms, God's kingdom and the kingdom on earth. And I'm a Lutheran that says they're together, right? That we have to tie God's kingdom here on earth. And there are needs in this community. There are people that are hurting. There are people that are addicted to drugs and alcohol and all that stuff. We've talked about that, that we can make an impact for. There are people that are homeless, right? You just look around us. What are we actively doing to engage hands-on with those people, right? You know, some of them, and it's been weird since COVID, you know, the only thing they want is some human interaction. Human interaction. I'll never forget going on the streets of New Orleans and hugging the homeless and feeling really, like, I don't know, at first, judgmental. I didn't want to touch them, right? But wouldn't Jesus have embraced them with a hug and loved them? You know, this is Father's Day. You know, some of us had good fathers, some of us didn't have good fathers in this congregation. But the point here is we have one Father that's the example this morning, our Heavenly Father, right? A Father like the prodigal son, where, you know, he goes off and spends all his money and his Father welcomes him back in open arms, right? That's the type of church that we need to be, I hope we are. That when people come off the street not knowing Jesus, not knowing the right words to say, not knowing the words of the creeds that we say on Sunday morning, that we open them with welcome arms. So Pastor Blue, just so y'all know, I like to be hands-on. Hands-on, and I got to get back into that, right? Because it's going to cause me to dry up if I don't get on with my hands working with the people of God. So, join me. Think about it. I want you to think about where those mission opportunities, be very missional, and maybe I'm talking completely crazy for some of you. And some of you are like, yes, amen. But I want us to really think about where those spots of this community which we find ourselves, God has called us in, that we can outreach. That we can outreach. We go all the way back to October, and we did that trunk or treat, right? We haven't really done an outreach like that since. But part of it is the season we're in. I want another one, like soon. I know we're talking about it. Man, wouldn't it be cool if once a month we had some type of outreach to Dundalk? Every month that this community knows that we love them for who they are. They're welcomed at this church. They're welcomed at this table, right? So somehow I'm going to get back to this message here. but we look at then the 2 Corinthians passage. Again, not in my message this morning. So you look here, and it says, verse 3, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. So I want you to think about First Evangelical Lutheran Church of Great Manor, that the full name right here. And I want you to think about it. Are there stumbling blocks? If there are, cut them up, right? Cut up the stumbling blocks. Give them to God. Be servants. And I think that the translation up here called it co-workers of the gospel, right? We're co-workers of the gospel of Jesus. And so we work alongside Jesus to spread the good news, to be the hands and feet that we were just talking about. And then he goes into the different things that we talk about. He's talking about having great endurance. Now, who has ever been just exhausted? Right? Everyone here. All right. And let me tell you, I know some of your church leaders, including pastor, have got to the point where we're just exhausted. Right? And the point here is it's time to have some endurance. We got to keep running the race, even when we start getting shot at, right? We're going to have troubles, it says, and hardships and distresses and beatings. Now, I haven't been physically beaten yet, so I'm in good shape. You know, emotionally you could be beaten, but we are to expect the beatings, right? We are to expect it. It says imprisonments and riots and hard work and sleepless nights and hunger and purity, understanding, patience, and kindness in the Holy Spirit and truthful speech in the power of God. And so it goes on and on. It talks about, I mean, you could just take this scripture and say, this is what being a co-worker of Jesus is all about. Right? It's more than here. It's more than Sunday morning. Like, we come to worship because we're a community of faith. Right? Like, we're not a community of faith because we come to worship. Like, worship is the pivotal moment where we've been in ministry together. We've been serving the church. We've been serving our community. And then we come together on Sunday morning and we say, praise be to God. Right? For all your glory. So, there was something that happened, right? When the Protestant Reformation happened, let's go back in time, and we said, you know, we're going to leave the Catholic Church. And we left all the good works with it, right? Because good works can't save us. Amen, I got that. But sometimes we said, you know, they have good works and we're just not going to worry about it. And I'm at this point in my life where I'm saying, you know, we still should have some good works that we're doing. We as the church as a whole, American Christianity has turned into like a Sunday morning experience. And I posted online this past week that, you know, it's not about how good worship was or any of that, right? Because only God knows how good our worship is this morning. Only God, because he is who we are worshiping. So we strive to do better as a church for God, right? Not for anyone else. So I want you to go through that passage of 2 Corinthians and put yourself there. Put your name there. I, so-and-so, a co-worker of Jesus. I, so-and-so, a servant of Christ. And go through all those words and say, man, what am I missing out on? So this morning, I don't think 11 o'clock is going to hear all this, so you guys got a special note. Have courage in the storm. Have courage in your storm. Jesus tells us to have faith in the storm. And I got 4 points this morning, but don't worry, they're not that long. Okay? So we're going to have courage in the storm. So I want you to think about those storms in your life, be a physical storm, emotional storm. So I just want to tell you just a very brief story because you guys don't need to hear everything about me every Sunday, okay? So back when I was a youth pastor and we decided we would try living up with the northern people, right? We moved up to St. Louis. That was the first time. First time we decided we're going to move north, right? So, and they told me it's going to snow. It's going to snow. So I said, okay. We actually lived in a little town called Warden, Illinois. We had no gas station, okay? We had a population of like 450 people in our township. There was the little Methodist church, the parsonage that we lived in. Behind me, there was the town butcher shop. And I remember as a newlywed, Amanda calling me screaming one day because there was a severed deer leg on our porch because some stray dog took it from the butcher shop and brought it to the porch of the parsonage. So we were transitioning out of that call because I was starting to go to seminary. And I said, okay, I got to move back out of the north, back down south. I applied to every southern seminary in the country, right? So my father-in-law, because it's Father's Day, right, decided him and my mother-in-law flew up to St. Louis, and they were going to help us drive the U-Haul truck, because from St. Louis to New Orleans, inexperienced driver really at that point, I needed some help. So it was the evening before we were going to leave, and we were all starving. The refrigerator is cleaned out. There's nothing in the house. He says, okay, we're going to go to Dairy Queen, which in rural southern Illinois was a good 30 miles through country roads, right? So we went to Dairy Queen, and I don't even remember that little town, Edwardsville, Illinois. So we went to Dairy Queen, and it started to storm so bad that when we got to Dairy Queen, the staff were throwing food at us, and they were going into the freezer. And I'm driving my Toyota Prius. That's what I had at the time. So we started driving, and trees are falling everywhere, right? Come to find out there's a tornado. We're driving through a tornado. Blue lightning everywhere, right? We crash our Prius, our brand-new Prius, into a tree, right? And that still had a dent about this big into the front of the Prius the rest of the time we owned it because I never did get it fixed. But we thought, literally, like we were going to die. And my father-in-law is sitting there in the passenger seat, and I'm driving, and he's trying to say, go this way, go that way, you know, and somehow we made it alive. Well, when we got home, there was no power, right? So then the four of us had to go into one room that we shared that evening, the last night of my ministry, in Warden, Illinois. And I wondered to God then, God, what are you telling me? Am I supposed to be here? Am I not supposed to leave? But we made it through that storm. That storm that I thought literally could take our life away, God used in that incredible way. God used because that next morning, the sun came out. It was shining. It was beautiful. And we had a great drive back to New Orleans. That was an interesting time in my life, right? Because at that point, probably in my first time in my kind of adult life, I wasn't working in the church for a while. I went home and took that janitor position at the local middle school and served, and then eventually got back into youth ministry. But God uses the storms. So this Father's Day, I want you to think about maybe the storms that your dad went through raising you. Or perhaps, as a father, the storms you have gone through raising your children. Right? Life is a roller coaster. It really is. You have your moments that are up and moments that are down and moments in between. And I've ridden a lot of roller coasters lately, so it makes a lot of sense, right? So we really loved Hershey. It's not quite Disney, but it was enough to get our fix, right? We had a great time. But see, so let's go back to the scripture this morning. In the first few verses, we hear the story where Jesus is sleeping in the midst of a storm. Now, when there's a hurricane outside, for the most part, I can sleep. Like, I feel comfortable. Now, tornadoes, that's another thing. I try to find cover, right? But think about Jesus sleeping. You're on this boat. And if you've ever been on a boat when it's rocking and moving and you're scared to death, and you go and there is your captain of your boat sleeping. Now, who's ever been on like a big boat in the middle of bad weather? Anybody? Cool. So we got some of y'all that understand this. Go to the Gulf of Mexico. Go maybe 100 miles south of, you know, of Louisiana, the shores of Louisiana, near the oil rigs. It's all bad. Like, you better have a good boat when you're driving through there. But Jesus this morning, in the scripture, when he heard the worry of the disciples, he got up. He got up and he went to action. So what I'm telling you this morning is when you pray to God, when you pray to our Heavenly Father, that he goes to action. It doesn't go on deaf ears when we pray to God. It's an active relationship. So like the God of the universe cares about us. He wants that relationship with his children this morning. And when we cry, Jesus hears our cries. Jesus hears our cries. He hears my cries. I want nothing more than this church to grow and thrive for Jesus. That's it. That's all I want. And I've had times that I've cried, and Jesus hears them. He feels them. He hears my cries for those going to hell because they don't know him. He hears my cries when I'm emotionally bruised and beaten. He hears my cries when I have a hard time finishing whatever it is for the week. He hears my cries when I'm drowning and I don't know where else to turn. See, congregation, Jesus hears our cries. When we think we're about to drown, when we think in life we are struggling through something that we can't get through, Jesus is there. Jesus is there with the tissue box, wherever it's at this morning. Jesus is there in the midst of life's most difficult challenges. And it's hard, right? When you're in the midst of stuff and it's heavy, and you feel all alone and isolated, right? Or even if your family is there, Jesus is there. Jesus is with you. Jesus is with us in the storms of life because, church family, he was there with his disciples. We may not always see him or hear him, but he is weathering life with us. When we lose that job, when we can't pay our bills, when we got that promotion at work that we've been dreaming about, right? And the good and the bad, Jesus is there. And we cannot think for one moment that he does not care for us. And again, I've gone through those ups and those downs, but God has always turned those crappy situations into good ones. for me. Always. Always. And I'm sure for many of you this morning, you've had those experiences, right? Where life just sucked, right? And God just turned it around completely. And you're like, where did this come from? How did God know this is where what I needed at this moment in my life? You know? And I've heard some of those testimonies from within this church. And let me tell you, congregation, we have a lot of them. We have a lot of testimonies of God working in the lives of this church. And I believe, as the pastor, if we were just to be more open and vulnerable with each other and open to this community, man, you all can be a beacon of hope for those people out these walls. A beacon of hope for those, you know, people my age that are just trying to figure life out. You guys can be examples for the lost sheep in this community. For those people that are the nuns and the duns, right? Those people that are just so mad at church. This church can be an example to them. A living, breathing testimony of the power of God right here. We just have to decide to do it. Now, again, I know this is a cultural difference, right? Like, people up north here in the Northeast are less open with sharing, right? And I'm always apologizing, like, at least out there, my son going up and hugging every random stranger, right? Because that's just, I don't know, people kind of give us weird looks around here for that. But that's who we got to be. So I'm kind of telling you, embrace some of that, more of that southern culture of being open. Give a hug. Give a lending hand when needed. Because Jesus this morning, that's exactly what he does. That Jesus has the power this morning, brothers and sisters, to calm those storms with a simple word, right? Be still. Be still. He says, be still and know that I am God. Be still, brothers and sisters. So why are we so frightened? He said, he asked the disciples, don't you have any faith? Now that's hard. That takes me aback, right? When I'm having doubt to say, man, do I have any faith? I mean, the faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. A mustard seed. Do we have a faith the size of a mustard seed this morning, congregation? And if we do we believe what the word says? That we can move mountains, right? That we can clear valleys, all for the kingdom of God, to be living testimonies. But again, don't feel ashamed when you wrestle with God. You know, Jacob in the book of Genesis wrestles with God, right? We have all these stories of the disciples and leaders in the church, right? Paul, right? I always go back to Paul because I always say, you know, if God can use a murderer for Jesus, I would hope he could use me, right? Like, if God can use some of these people that you would never expect, God can use me. So I want you to think out in the congregation. Many of you have been discipled your whole life. You've been a Christian since the time you could remember. You have so much knowledge of the Word of God. You have a relationship in your heart with Jesus. But those fruits, right? Those tools are being underutilized for the kingdom. So I am so glad when I see random classes pop up around the church, right? And I believe because COVID is becoming, I don't want to say to an end, but we are definitely more normal than we were. I mean, we're always a little strange. It's okay as a church. But more and more starting to come back. And I believe the church is on a healthy projected path to reach people for Christ. So God, so brothers and sisters, hear this. God does hear our cries. He does hear our prayers. And he listens. And he is calling all of us this morning to once again get out that boat. Right? Get out the boat, even if it's storming outside. Right? To get out, walk on some water. Look at this passage from 2 Corinthians and say, you know what? I am a co-worker of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a co-worker. I am a servant. I'm going to go through all these things, and that's okay. Because God's going to get me through it. So, congregation, I want you to pray. I want you to pray sincerely on where is God calling you to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world. Right? Where is he calling you this morning? And I'd like you to really think about that. And I want you to write it down. I want you to write it down. So I'm going to do something impromptu here. Next week, see this table here? I'm going to put this table here in the middle. And on Sunday morning, I'm going to have you come take those pieces of paper, and I'm going to have you place them in a basket. And we're going to kind of survey the church and say, where is God calling us to be the hands and feet? And then we're going to act on it. We're not just going to talk about it. I'm tired of talking about stuff. Let's just do stuff, right? So we're going to take those items. We're going to say, man, we got 10 people that are interested in this type of ministry. Let's do it. Let's just make it happen. And I believe we're starting to do that. You know, we got this food ministry that is going to be beginning next door. So I know for a fact this church is, people have always asked, what's going on with the house next door, right? Can I get an amen? Okay, everyone wants to know what's going on. So we have something happening in the house next door. We have a food ministry that's going to be happening. Kevin Nazorski, if that's how you pronounce their last name, I'm always messing that up, is starting the ministry. You know, they're looking for donations of time, talent, finances, all of it, food. Help them out. Reach out to them. We are always looking for volunteers to do stuff in the church. You know, all this stuff on Sunday morning, I'm going to be honest, all this stuff upstairs, I know causes some people stress and anxiety. I know it. It's okay. I'm not telling you it shouldn't cause you stress and anxiety. But I'm telling you, I'm trying my best to make it happen, but I can't do it on my own. Jen and Colin up there cannot do it on their own. We need people that feel called by the Holy Spirit to do those things. So please be a part. Please be a part. If you see a Bible study going on and you're not involved in one, be a part. Jane, I think you still run Prayer Warriors, right? Be a part of the prayer team. We need people praying. Every single week. There is so much going on in this life of this church. I want 95% of our church involved in something. You could be involved. You can grow. That's how you build community, right? So I don't know if that's where I'm going to try to end it today. Thank you for hearing my off-topic conversation today and my sermon. And yeah, Millie. You got a testimony? Absolutely. Let's pray. Absolutely. 100%. So please hear. I'm going to pray for this, the word of God this morning, that it impacts us. God, we take this word from your holy gospel, God, from the epistle reading, God, that we are to be co-workers, God, for you. that we are to weather storms of life, good, bad, but we know and trust that you are with us. God, you have called us to be the hands and feet of you, God, for the loss and the hurt and God, the beaten, God, the persecuted. Help us as the church, God, fulfill your calling on our lives. God, to move forward in ministry, in the gospel, God, in our outreach to this community at large. God, help us in our souls, God, to grow in our faith. God, if there's any of us this morning that doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, God, I ask your Holy Spirit to dwell, God, to go in their hearts and their minds and to bring them home. God, to bring them to you. God, for our family members that need Jesus in their life. God, let us be examples to them. God, let this church, as 2 Corinthians told us this morning, not be a stumbling block. God, I don't want to be a stumbling block for anyone. So, God, if there's any of those that are around this church, God, we ask you to just cut them up and throw them in the fire. God, so that we can be a direct, impacting congregation for you. So that, God, that our legacy as a church, moving forward, God, that we continue to move forward, God, is that people, God, will not be lost sheep without a shepherd. Help us, God. Help us be still and know that you are God, God. And we pray all this in your holy name. Amen.